In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, I just want to begin by saying that I'm glad that we are able to be here through all the storms that we've had. We had service at 11:15 yesterday, and some were able to join us, but still difficult for most. For those of you who were unable to be with us yesterday, we shared the great news from the Ryden family that Thomas and Brittany have welcomed the birth of their daughter Edie on Saturday. So Father Thomas is now officially a girl dad, which is, I believe, one of the best titles that a man can have. And that reminds me of when our daughter Madeline was born. So the day after Madeline was born, I had one assignment above all others. Go get coffee. Get good coffee. So Madeline was born at Tanova Turkey Creek, so that meant that Starbucks was just a quarter mile away. So in the morning, the sun was shining, and I was smiling from ear to ear, and I was also really sleep-deprived. Not nearly as sleep-deprived as we were going to be for the next several months, but the brain was still sluggish as I walked into the door. And the barista, of course, said, "Good morning. How are you today?" And I said, "I am great. I became a dad yesterday." And she said, "Congratulations, and what can I get for you today?" So I placed the order for Emily and me, and then the barista asked me, as they do at Starbucks, "And can I get a name for that order?" And I went blank for 2 or 3 seconds. I forgot my name. And then I blurted out, "Jack." I felt like an idiot, but I actually didn't care because I had a baby girl. And then when our coffees were ready, the barista had written with a Sharpie on my coffee sleeve, "New Dad." I'm kicking myself that I didn't keep that coffee sleeve for a memento. Well, in Jerusalem, we have a devout man named Simeon who's waiting on a long promise. And as a devout Jew in Jerusalem, going up to the temple and to worship, how many times had Simeon seen a new father and a new mother bringing their firstborn son into the outer courts of the temple? This would have been a very familiar sight for the aging Simeon. Jerusalem in the first century would have had at least 25,000 residents. Some estimate even up to 80,000 residents. And either way, it would have been a regular sight to see a new Jewish mother coming with her husband into the temple for the rite of presentation, presenting their son, of purification, to do these things 40 days after the birth of their firstborn son. So numerous parents carried their firstborn sons up those temple steps into the outer court. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they would have carried their firstborn son into the temple to present him there. But our aging Simeon is waiting. Not for any ordinary child, not even for John, who would be called the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness. Simeon waits for one child above all others. Luke tells us the Holy Spirit promised Simeon that he would see the Anointed One, the Christ, before he died. We know so little about Simeon. All we have is in what we just read. We know so little about Anna, the prophetess, who also faithfully came to worship at the temple. What Luke wants us to know about Simeon is that he is waiting. He is waiting for consolation. Another word is he's waiting for comfort, for the comfort of Israel. Not waiting for just another firstborn son, not just another Jewish ritual. Simeon waits for the one and the only Christ. That's what Luke wants us to know about Simeon. Simeon waits, and in his waiting, he clings to the word. He clings to the promise of God. We've been celebrating the Feast of Candlemas since 2014 at Apostles. And so we've been reading this story every February 2nd for 12 years now. But we read the story of Candlemas with a spiritual theme, with a spiritual goal this year.
Because at Apostles this year, we're focused on renewing our love for the Word of God. We know little about Simeon. And here's what Luke tells us. He was righteous, devout, and waiting. And then the fourth thing, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Four qualities, that's what we have. Righteous, devout, waiting, the Holy Spirit upon him. And with that final quality, Luke tells us Simeon holds on to a promise. It was a gift given to him from the Holy Spirit. Simeon will see the Lord's Christ with his own eyes before he dies. Simeon lives in Jerusalem during a time when the rabbis, the pastors, they were saying the Spirit had departed Israel. You see, once the age of the prophet Malachi ended, the Spirit was silent. Remember, it would still be another 30 years before John the Baptist broke the silence of the prophets in public and there in the wilderness. So it's an age of silence. And in that age, Simeon waits. He waited, but he held on to the promised word of the Holy Spirit, that he would see the glory of God with his own eyes. I want to come to Scripture in my life with the patient and persevering faith that Simeon possessed. I want to come to Scripture with expectation and watchfulness. Even when I'm walking through seasons when God seems silent, Simeon, he was an upright man, righteous. He would be an example of how we ought to live. One you could point to and say, you can copy that kind of life. Not just upright, he was devout. It means he was faithful. He was consistent each day, each season, each year. And he waited. Here's a fascinating aspect of the church year. The church year begins with Advent, and we begin focusing on waiting. We're waiting for the coming of Christ. And then Christmas comes 40 days ago, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And then 40 days after Christmas, today, we come to this feast, Candlemas, and we meditate on waiting again. We meet now, today, a man who is waiting to see Jesus with his own eyes. That's what this story is about. He's been waiting to see the Lord's Christ with his own eyes all his life. It is all that matters to him, the only thing that matters. It is for this he waits. And it's hard to wait. My goodness. It's even harder to wait in an age or in a season of silence. Such was Simeon's lifetime, this age of silence in Israel. And such will we experience seasons as well in our spiritual life too. Silence, there is one kind of silence that soothes or brings that deepening calm. But then there is the silence that is a trial. The silence that is a test. The silence that feels like an absence. It's like that longest night when we dwell on all that troubles us. It's that long night when the dawning light seems so long and afar off. Simeon was devoted, consistent, and he was waiting. You see, to wait is one thing. It doesn't mean that you'll be devoted in the waiting. You can be waiting and disgruntled. But no, Simeon was waiting and devoted as well. He was both. And that's how I wish to be when God seems silent to me. Not only to wait, but to wait with devotion, with faith, with commitment. To keep reading and praying the Scriptures, both in season and out of season. And to believe in my waiting, as Simeon did, that the word of the Holy Spirit will not return void, but will be fulfilled in that for which it was sent. Later in the Gospel of Luke, we will meet one of my favorite figures in all of Scripture, Mary of Bethany. Mary sat at Jesus' feet while her sister Martha was anxious and troubled about many tasks. And Jesus said of Mary, that Mary chose the one thing necessary, which was the presence of the Lord. That was one thing that was necessary. But in Luke's gospel, you see, before Mary chose the one thing necessary, Simeon was waiting for the one person necessary. That's all that mattered to him. Seeing the Lord's Christ himself. That was his treasure before he saw him. That was the treasure he was seeking. The treasure for which he waited. It was worth waiting for. And that's the wisdom we learn from Simeon when we are waiting for the Scriptures to speak to us in fullness. We're waiting for the Great One. So more than gaining information or more insight from Scripture, more than just finding practical help, which is important, more than finding relief from whatever pain we're enduring, we are waiting for Jesus Christ only. For He is greater than information or insight or practical help or finding relief. He is the Lord. He is the light. Remember what Jesus said. When the Lord rebuked the crowds regarding the Scriptures, He said, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they that bear witness about Me," He said. When I come to His Word, there is one thing I ask, one thing I seek, and that is to meet the Lord Himself in my heart as I read. You know, most days that we come to Scripture, they're going to be ordinary days. No great epiphanies. Not profound life-changing moments every day. Well, then remember those ordinary days that Simeon came to the temple because he was devoted. Devoted and waiting. And then remember, too, that in the grace of God, there will also be days when God floods you with His grace, and you will encounter the Lord afresh and anew. There will be days when you can say from experience, the Word of God is indeed living and active. That's not just a verse that's written in Hebrews 4. By the grace and the goodness of God, I've experienced it myself. I've encountered Him in His Word. For 14 years, we've celebrated Candlemas. 14 years, we've read Luke chapter 2, 22 to 40 in the middle of the nave. And it's in this 14th year that this seemingly minor verse has come alive for me. Verse 28. And Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God. On Christmas, we speak about Christ being born in the manger of your heart. On Candlemas, let us speak about taking up the Christ child in our arms and blessing God with all we have. This is what Simeon was waiting for, to hold on to Christ himself. That's Candlemas. Holding on to the word of promise and then one day holding on to Christ himself. With all his patience, devoted waiting, when it was fulfilled, Simeon couldn't contain himself. He had to sing. Listen then to the song of Simeon anew. Listen for the fulfillment of his devotion, this long-awaited word of promise. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people, Israel. If we were doing a Bible study on the Song of Simeon, we would see the influences of Isaiah's prophecy in his song. You see, there's evidence here of how closely Simeon lived in devotion to the prophecy of Isaiah during those years of waiting. But that's not the most interesting and certainly not the most important thing tonight. There's one thing necessary when we come to the Scriptures, and that is to encounter Jesus Christ. He's the treasure. That's why we take up the Scriptures as a precious jewel, my brother and sister. They reveal Christ. Take Christ into your arms and then bless God when He opens your heart with the light and the glory of His presence.
In the Anglican way of prayer, we speak or we sing, as we will tonight. We sing the Song of Simeon at evening prayer or we sing it at Compline. Evening prayer and Compline are forms of prayer for the end of the day, but they also function as symbols. They symbolize the end of our lives, the goal of our lives. The goal of our life is to encounter Christ. You see, our Anglican evening prayers, they're training our hearts. They are forming our hearts in this pursuit that matters above all things. And in Anglican worship, the Song of Simeon always comes after the New Testament reading. There's a reason for that. We encounter Christ in His gospel, and then what do? We sing. And then notice the first line of Simeon's song. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. We sing with joy, and we sing of peace. That great desire, that deep longing in the soul that all of us seek all of our lives is for peace. And then Simeon reveals peace is a person. Hold this image in your heart. You see it imaged even on the icon on the cover of your bulletin. Simeon taking the Lord Jesus in his arms, blessing God after many years of waiting. And then what's his testimony? Simeon at the end of life is full of peace. He needs nothing else from this life. Nothing else from this world. Why? Because encountering Christ is the fullness of joy. And that fullness of joy overflows so much that it falls into peace. Peace this world cannot give. But peace that comes from the Word made flesh, incarnate in this world. So my brother and sister, let us be devoted and persevering in our waiting. Let us seek Christ in the precious jewel of His Word. Cling to the promises given by the Holy Spirit in the Word. For there's peace for those who wait on the Lord, those who devote themselves to the Word of God. And the end of that waiting is a song. It is a song that ends with glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.